God. Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, and it's like a study that we're going to do. The title of the message is The Truth About Being in Christ. As you're turning there, I just want to say that we've had a good weekend, and praise God for it. Thank you to everybody who did so much work as we had our Valentine's dinner last night. That was a challenge to come to, wasn't it? You know, that was a challenge to come to, but it was well attended. You know, we didn't call it off or anything like that. And I just, we had a great time. Praise the name of the Lord. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Everybody did so much hard work, the rest of us. We're grateful for you. We're grateful for you. And then along with that, we had on Saturday morning, we had the men's breakfast, and Brother Fred over here shared with us more of his testimony. And so we're just thankful for that. We're thankful for everyone, particularly for Charlie and Daryl and Mike, for all of their preparation and planning and working and cooking. And so I just want to tell them publicly, thank you. Thank you very much. You know. Amen. So praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We just worship you. And boy, just as I said a minute ago, such a sweetness of the presence of the Lord. You know, and what a blessing it is to you know, corporate worship, right? You know, I'm a worshiper. I'm a worshiper. I've told you that. You know, I am a worshiper. I'm not a singer, but I am a worshiper, you know, and praise God. And I love to worship the Lord. Much of my prayer time and much of my prayer life is made up of worship. It's made up of worship, you know, and faith declarations. I make a lot of faith declarations, looking to be led by the Spirit of God in prayer. Okay. You know, not just going off in your own power, might, and seek to pray. You know, there's an anointing for you. There's an anointing. There's an anointing of the Holy Spirit for you in all things, the equipping of God, the provisions of the Lord in Christ Jesus, the provisions of the Lord that are available to you. God's not asking you to walk with Him in your own strength or your own power. He wants to equip you and me. He wants to equip you and me that we may be empowered, that we may be successful at for living for Jesus. Are you with me there? That we might be successful at living for Jesus. The more you try on your own strength, the more you're going to falter and fail. Okay? But it's the Holy Spirit that lifts you up. He lifts you up. Now, I mentioned that about prayer, you know, but in all things, in our walk before the Lord. And that's what I'm really talking about. We're going to limit ourselves here for this study in the book of Hebrews, because that's what Hebrews is all about. It's all about being in Jesus and all that Jesus has done for us, what He's accomplished on our behalf. You know, what we have to do is that we have to be bold enough that we're going to believe upon God. You have to make the decision, and nobody can make the decision for you, that you are going to believe upon God, that you're going to take the Lord at His word. And that's not just for when you get saved. It's all of your life and your walk in the Lord. The Lord wants to bring you and I higher and higher and higher and higher in Him. He wants to bring you and I into more and more and more and to more. We don't limit ourselves by what I'm capable of doing or not capable of doing, what I've got talent for or what I don't have talent for. You know, too many people are serving God on the basis of their natural talents. And praise God, if you have natural talents that you can utilize in the church and in serving the Lord. But I want you to know that the Spirit of God has got other things in mind for you as well. And He wants to anoint you in ways that you do not have in your natural man, because they're to come to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. They're to come to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why we have to be a people that are going forward in the Lord. You must be a believer that is going forward. This must be that your heart's desire. This must be what is on your heart and on your mind. You know, there's just too many Christians, too many people that have given their heart to the Lord, and they spend their whole Christian life wandering around. You know, you would almost think that Jesus was a secondary issue to life when he is the issue to life. That we live for him. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. That's got nothing to do with it, and that's not who you are anyway. But when you give your heart to Jesus, your life is about the mission of Almighty God. First, that you may love him with all of your heart, and that you present yourself to him to be the servant of the Lord. It goes way beyond church attendance. It goes way beyond, you know, today you would think in the so-called Christian culture, you know, that it's just about going to church and being a good person, and, you know, that's the extent of it. But it's so much more for you and me in the Lord. This is a little part of it. This is a little part of it. And thank God for it. Like I told this morning, the corporate worship is so sweet. I love the worship. But all the corporate worship of coming together, you know, and it's not only us coming together, and I want to show you that scripturally that we're coming together with more than just those that we see, okay? We're coming together in praise and worship of the Lord in more than what we see. You know, and the walk of God is to be found in walking after the way of the Spirit. And after you walk after the way of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he begins to expound your vision in him, that you may contain and that you may see and have greater spiritual understanding in him. And now that's what all of this is about right here that we're looking at. And it's about, you know, about the truth about being in Christ. Look, for example, I'm going to start here. This is in Hebrews chapter 12, and I've looked at this, read this, but beginning at verse 18, I don't know how far we'll get with the study here. I got a lot of scriptures here that I want for us to look at in relationship to our being in Christ, what we've received, what's happened to us. Here's verse 18, "For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched." Now, I'll just stop there for a minute because he's talking about Moses. He's talking about Mount Sinai. He's going to give descriptions as to when the Lord came among his people. You know, when the Lord came among his people and he came down on Mount Sinai. He gave the Ten Commandments at that point. He asked for Moses to come up with him on the mountain. And he gave instructions about being in the presence of the Lord. This is what he's describing. And he's given a comparison. He's talking about what it was for the people of God then and what it is for the people of God now, that you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is what he's getting to. And so he goes on in verse 18 again, "For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched." They were not to touch the mountain. It goes on and says later, if anybody touched the mountain, whether beast or what, was to die. You know, so they couldn't draw near. I want you to hear what I just said to you. They did not have the open door and the ability to draw near. And we're going to find in the midst of this study that that's the one thing that has been open to every single one of us. And matter of fact, that's even to be expected of us once we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, that we, hallelujah, may be able to draw near. What a blessed privilege this is of being in the Lord Jesus Christ and all that we have received from him.
that we have been given that place in Him. We've been given that position in Him that we can freely and be able to draw near to the Lord. Now look on, if you would. He goes on, he says, for you have not come to a mountain that may be touched and to a blazing fire. You know, you can imagine that scene that he's describing here, and to darkness and gloom and whirlwind. You know, this was the manifestation of the presence of God. And the one thing, as I read it, the one thing that hits me, doesn't sound too inviting, does it? You know, I mean, it just don't sound too inviting. Not very comfortable there at that particular point, to the where the place that Moses, who walked with God, said, "I'm full of fear and trembling." You know, that's an amazing manifestation there. And then, so what a description. Verse 19 goes on and says, and to the blast of a trumpet. And can you imagine that? You know, that was the trumpet from heaven, right? That was the trumpet of heaven. And it was announcing, oh, the Holy King of Kings and Lord of Lords is here, right? As God came down on that mountain. And so great was the blast of the trumpet. The sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further words should be spoken to them. Oh my. You know why? Because they were coming directly from the mouth of Almighty God. That's why. It wasn't Moses, you know, who was standing as a priest of the Lord on their behalf and speaking the word of the Lord. No, this was the word of God Almighty. And as it was being spoken, it was the manifestation of Him. As it was being spoken, it was the manifestation of Him. And they felt His holy power. They felt His righteousness. They felt His unapproachableness. They felt all of it. And they felt who they were in light of who He was. And this is what they were experiencing. That they begged, may we not hear anymore. May we not hear anymore. May we not hear anymore, because they couldn't bear it. My goodness, what a description that we find here. Obviously, this was a very frightening event. This was not only a frightening event, but it was such an alien event, right? You know, such alienation at that point. And verse 20, it goes on and says, for they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. They couldn't bear it. They couldn't bear it. And they were afraid to even move. Here's verse 21. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. You know, he's gone to great lengths here to explain this and be so descriptive with this, because now he's going to move from where they were in relationship to the old covenant to where we are in relationship to the new covenant of being in Christ. And what a contrast it is, because of who He is and what He has done for you and for me, that I am to embrace it fully and to believe upon the preciousness of the price that was paid through the great and holy love of Almighty God. Because we know so well John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What love has been manifested, and what openness that's come to you, as the Word says also in Romans, that whosoever will is the invitation of Almighty God. Whosoever will, that you don't clean yourself up first, that you come to Him, that you give your whole heart to Him, that you don't have to approach Him in fear and in trembling. He's still the same holy God. and he has not changed. But oh, it speaks such volumes of the glory, of the preciousness, of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been shed and deposited in heaven in the very presence of Almighty God. That speaks on my behalf and on your behalf. This is what we're to embrace with all of our heart, that we come as we are. And you know, I know we make that a lot of times about, you know, somebody giving their heart being saved. And yes, it applies to that, but it means now. It means no matter where you're at, it matters no matter what's going on in your life, no matter if you feel like you got knocked down, even though maybe you've disappointed yourself, even surprises have come into your life, no matter what it would be, whether it be inward, outwardly, or anything else, come as you are and draw near, because this is the great open door of the blood of Jesus, is to be able to draw near. He says it all through Hebrews, and hopefully we'll maybe get to it, but we will through time. Now, I'm going to read this again, but now notice this after he says in 21, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. Now he's switching. He's gone from where they came to, the experiencing God, to where we've come to in the Lord Jesus Christ, in us experiencing God. And it makes no difference. It makes no difference if you can witness this in your own life or not. It nevertheless is the truth of the word of the Lord. And as we begin to believe upon the Lord with all of our heart and walk in Him and obey Him and do what He's told us to do in response to Him, that the Holy Spirit makes these things in us more real, more alive, more tangible, more obtainable, because the Spirit brings it about within us. He goes on, here I'll go on in verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion. Notice the difference here. And then he goes on to explain, you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. Glory to God. And then he says, and if that's not good enough of description for us, that we've come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, he goes on, he says, the heavenly Jerusalem, right? The heavenly Jerusalem. There's other scriptures that tell us that our citizenship is in heaven. You know, you and I in Jesus are known in heaven. You know, we are enrolled now because something has happened to us, you know, and we grow in its understanding. But the minute that you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you stepped over into eternal life. You have eternal life now in the Lord Jesus Christ. You went from being dead to being alive. Because what God calls life is He is life. Life is not functioning just in this human flesh and this human body. We call that life. I am alive in my human body, but I have received and come alive, right, in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have now received that deposit of eternal life. And when that happened to you, you became a citizen of heaven. Your name is enrolled in heaven. You are known in heaven. And all of heaven has been given to support those that are in Him. Now look on in these descriptions as he goes on to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and then it says, and to myriads, I'm using New American Standard, and to myriads of angels, you know, multitudes or thousands, I think maybe the NIV may say. You know, this is a part of that description. I want to just kind of just a little bit stop there a minute and just look at this, the work of the angelic host. that's been given. Because you understand, and there's an enlightenment about us, that the enemy tries to stop this enlightenment. But you now, being in Jesus, have a mission to fulfill in this life and in this world before you go on and go on to eternity to be with the Lord. God is moving to take repossession of the earth at one time that he will. You know, things were taken, things were stolen. Authorities were given that were not meant to be given. We know that we had dominion had been given over to Adam and Eve at that point. And the evil one come and gave robbery, right? And deceitfulness and stole away that which God had intended. God's taking it back. He's going to be taking it back. And he starts by taking it back. He's been taking it back ever since the fall. He has been taking it back. It's the manifestation of him and a manifestation of him. You know, and a manifestation of him. He found a man. He found a man by the name of Abram, all right, of Abram. And Abram was willing to believe God. He was willing to believe God. And he said, your name shall no longer be Abram, but it shall be Abraham. And what he did, you know, they took the name Jehovah because the name Yahweh was too holy. It was too holy. They weren't wrong. They weren't religious. They understood. That was the difference. And they knew how holy that God was. And so they took the name Yahweh and they set it aside not to be known, but not to be spoken. And they used the name Jehovah. That's what they did. But what God did with Abraham and Sarah is that when he believed God, he said, well, no longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall now be Abraham. He took the A-H out of Yahweh, which is the breath and the life of Almighty God, and he put it smack dab in the middle of Abram's name and said that you shall be Abraham from now on. Oh, you understand all this is heading to Jesus, right? All of this is heading to Jesus. All of this is not only heading to Jesus, but what else it's doing? It's heading to you and it's heading to me that we would have the deposit of Almighty God, that we would become called sons of God. Oh, my goodness. And how the Lord brought it all about as he gained dominion over and more and over and more and kept putting the devil in his place and putting the devil in his place. And he's going to continue to put the devil in his place. He's wanting a people that will rise up and they will be a people that will proclaim who they have received and who they are, and that they will be a people that will be found in him, that will walk in him, and that he will use them to put the old devil in his place in this world. And the manifestation of the kingdom of God will grow and grow and grow. And I don't know what all it's going to look like, but the word of the Lord says that he's coming back with a church that's without spot or without wrinkle. It's not going to be a church that's in bed with the world anymore. And this is how the evil one has sought to infiltrate the church in such a way so they destroy the power. Oh, you all go ahead and meet in your four walls and have a good old time. Just don't take it out there anywhere. Don't talk to nobody about Jesus. You know, doggone it, you're being a threat to me now. Because I got people out there that don't even have a clue what Christianity's even about. And I got them, and they don't even know I got them. And my plan for them is for them to open up their eyes in hell. That's my plan for them. I know you do, I run into people like that all the time. They don't have a clue. They flat out don't even have a clue. Don't you dare think that everybody around you knows what you know. Don't you dare think that everybody around you knows what you know. Because you got multitudes around you that do not. They do not. Oh, they know there's churches and, you know, and know that Christians go to church on a Sunday morning. And all that, we know that it's somewhere there about Jesus. But they don't have any clue. They don't have any clue. Oh, may we be everything that the Lord has planned for us to be. Because when we are fit rightly in the body of Christ to serve Him fully, this is where the fullness of your reward is found. The fullness of your reward is not being a Billy Graham, okay, or whatever else. You know, that's not where the fullness of your reward is found. Your fullness of your reward is being found in Him, where He is rightly fit you in the body. You have got to find out just exactly where you fit rightly in the body. That is on you to do in the Lord. And that comes by what the word of the Lord says, which is draw near. Draw near. Draw near. And as you draw near, then you will find the Spirit of God revealing more of Him to you, and more of heaven, more of the kingdom, more of the plan of God, more confidence of faith that will come into you, more of the ability of the Spirit to fulfill the mission that God has called you to in Him. Oh, it's exciting, isn't it, to walk with the Lord and to know the Lord and follow the Lord Jesus with all of your heart? Well, we want to go and listlessly see this part as we get going in this study. But here we find, I'm going to read a verse here again. I'm going to read in verse 22. It says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." You know, and then it says, "And to myriads of angels." Here's that quick look about the angelic force. Come on down to 13. Just in right here in Hebrews 13, verse 1, "Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." That is a very wondrous statement, isn't it, made in the word of the Lord. And the one thing that I get out of it is that you need to understand that all of heaven is greatly actively involved in the earth. And what's going on here. You know, God is not just off in heaven. The saints that have gone on, they're all off in heaven, and, you know, and they got their little heavenly thing going on up there, and then they're just kind of sitting there waiting for the rest of us, you know, to arrive. That's not happening. God's taking possession. He's taken possession. The closer that we get to the last days ending, we're in the last days, but the closer that we get to the last days ending, the more intensified the war is going to get. The more intensified. You need to be ready. You need to be ready. You have been called into these times. You weren't accidentally born when you were born. You are not who you are or where you are by accident. It has been the plan of Almighty God. You need to dig into Him, and you need to find your place, and you need to follow His purpose and His calling. And there's a lot of bumping around in all of that, right? There's a lot of bumping around. You know, there was one time, if I may say, you know, so it was my brother and I. We were much younger. We were much younger. And there was this water slide, you know, and we were watching the people, and you go all the way up to the top, you know, and then they had a bar, you know, there, and, you know, and a chute, and then you shoot yourself down, right? And, you know, and down at the bottom, and they had a big rubber pool or whatever. And then the people would come out, and they would just kind of slide, you know, around till they come to a slow stop. And my brother and I, we sit there and watch that and thought, okay, we're going to give it everything we got. It was kind of a mistake. We got to the top of that thing. I was the first one to go down. And he's right behind me, you know. And I grabbed that bar, you know. Man, we're going to shoot like a rocket. You know, I grabbed a hold of that bar. Like I said, I was a lot younger. Anyway, I grabbed a hold of that bar. And, man, I just gave everything I could down that chute. Like I said, that was a mistake. Because the next thing that starts happening as I'm going down that chute is my head is bouncing off the walls of that chute from the top of it to the bottom of it. It's going boom, 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 to the point to where, you know, I don't know how much more I can take of this. So, you know, I grabbed my hands around here the best I could, you know, as I bent down. And I mean, and when I came out the bottom of it, they had two little girls down there, you know, the lifeguards, right? You know, with their little whistles and they're, you know, watching everything. And I heard the little girl say, "Oh my God!" You know. Because when I started skimming the edges, we didn't see anybody skim the edges, okay? But when I'm starting to skim the edges, I'm awful close to the top to where, you know, I'm in danger of boom. I got up and I'm dazed. I'm a little dazed, you know. And then, oh boy, here comes my brother. And he goes, We loved one another. But there was nobody more competitive than me and Bob. That wouldn't have no other soul would be any more competitive. You know, so no matter what one does, one's going to do it better, right? He's going to do it better. And I mean to tell you, so I'm standing up right now. I want to get his attention, but it's too late. And boy, bang, here he comes down there, you know, shooting like a rocket. I think I joined the little girl in the saying, my God. I thought for sure he's going to come right out of there. I mean, you know, you can get beat and banged up when you say, "Man, I'm going to run after God with all of my heart," you know. And then here you start going down that chute, and you know, boom, 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 you know. The devil's going to resist you. The devil's going to resist you because you are the person of Jesus in this world. You are more powerful than you know. You have more authority than you know. The evil one knows. He just hopes you don't ever come to know. God is taking it back. He's taking it back. All dominion, his force and instrument is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And more specifically, it's you, the believer, the one who has received of him, the one who's been established in sonship, not as a title, but as a position in the presence of Almighty God, that we are sons of God to the point to where we were studying prayer on Wednesday, and in that where Jesus said, "Go tell my brethren." Go tell my brethren. You know, this is how you're known, and this is how you are seen. The angels of God marvel over who you are. Do you know that you are higher than the angels of Almighty God? You are higher than the angels because we are as sons of God. We stand in the position and authority. The work of the Spirit is to bring that into a greater reality for you. Because as it becomes a greater reality, then by faith you become established more in it. Because it becomes more alive and real and a realization as to who you really are. This is the work of God, so that you are fitly joint in the body, in power, in glory, and in might, and that your life serves the purpose of the Lord, that when you go on and be with the Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. And the rewards of God are based upon that fulfillment, not on how well you're known, not on the masses of people that you influence. No, your rewards are based upon you being everything that Jesus has called you to be. Because he's made a way. And that way before Almighty God in his presence, where he gives a command, and with the command comes an invitation. And the command and the invitation of Almighty God is not that mountain. It's not that mountain. It's draw near. If even a beast touches the mountain, it was all known that they were not to touch the mountain. But even if a beast touches the mountain, he's to be stoned. They were to stone, right? God wasn't going to do the stoning. They were to stone that beast because he touched the presence of Almighty God. But oh, you have not come to a mountain that cannot be touched. Here he goes on. Look here, entertaining angels. All of heaven is about that redemption. Okay, turn real quick and go, if you would, chapter 2. We're going to come right back to there, but I'm just going to look at it real quick just so that you can see it. You know, this is what life is about. Life is about living for the Lord. Life is about living for Jesus. This life is short, but eternity, everlasting. We are to live for the Lord. Our life is to be lived for him. We've been removed from the old Adam man who chose to live for himself. He chose to live for himself and death came into the world. And so death came unto all men. All those born after the Adam. And that meant all natural man born after the flesh. And so we've inherited that nature. And the very character of that nature is to live for me. And the world tells you that's what life's about, right? You know, I mean, yeah, that's what life's about. You know, about living for you, you know. And just don't do this and don't do that. And we even bring it into the church. We bring it into the church. Oh, and just as long as you just that good little Christian. What in the world is that? Huh? You know, you that good little Christian person. And then everything's wonderful. And now the rest of it's yours. You can live for you. This is lies out of the pit of hell. We live for the Lord, and we've been given the invitation. You know, and all of heaven is connected with us, or we may say we are all connected with heaven, you know, because we're no longer in the flesh. We're now in the Spirit. We're no longer in the world. We're in the kingdom of God. It is up to you to find out what that means. It is up to you to run after it and find it for yourself in all the glory and grace that God has prepared for each and every single one of us. Here's that other scripture talking about the angelic host. This is in chapter 1. Chapter 1 in verse 7 says, And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Come on down into verse 14, speaking of the angelic host. And they and are they not all ministering spirits? Now look at this. Sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. Go on back, if you would, into Hebrews chapter 12. You know, so the old evil one, you know, he wants you to walk in the natural man and never discover the man of the Spirit. Oh, go ahead and read about him. Go ahead and have your philosophies. Go ahead and have your spiritual doctrines, you know, all that. That's wonderful. But if it never becomes a reality to where you never lay a hold of it, the devil's not threatened one little bit. The devil's not threatened one little bit. Because he loves intellectualism. Oh, yeah. He's very highly intellectual. The devil himself is very highly intellectual. He revels in the idolatry of intellectualism. Oh, he revels in it. Oh, you just go right ahead, because that's just like me. That's just like me. But never make it a hard experience. Never. Never make it a hard experience, because if it becomes a hard experience, then you're on the verge of having a reality here of truth and righteousness and glory and victory and position in the kingdom of God as I have called you. Oh, God's amazing, isn't it? All right, I'm going to close with this. All right, now look at this. I'm going to look on, and here we are, where we've come to in verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. And then I'm going to just read it, and I'm not going to go much further, and I'm not going to explain a lot more, but 23 says, to the general assembly, and I know the NIV says a joyful assembly. You know, the actual word, the Greek word there means a festal, F-E-S-T-A-A, a festal assembly is what it means. And then it goes on and says, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. This is where you've come, all right? This is where you've come. Then it goes on in 24 and says, and to Jesus, look here, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the, look here, sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. The blood, y'all, why don't you all come on up, if you would, and I appreciate it. The blood of Abel cried out, innocent, innocent, innocent. This is what the blood of Abel did. Innocent, innocent blood. And God said, that blood speaks to me. You know, that blood speaks to me. God said that. Greater than the blood of Abel. He came to Cain and said, where's your brother? His blood speaks out to me from the ground. That's what the word said. His blood speaks out to me from the ground. You know, but this blood, whoa, we've come to the New Jerusalem. We've come to the city of the living God. We come to God, the judge of all. That's what you read, the judge of all. But you know, he not only judges from a judgment to those who do evil, but he also does the judgment of those that are found justified. I want you to realize that. God judges me. Oh, found in Jesus, covered by the blood. Son, I receive you. Yeah, that's the judge. That's the judge. Yeah, he judges you. Found in Jesus, covered by the blood. I love that judgment, don't you? And the sprinkled blood speaks greater than the blood of Abel.
Amen.
Right? It says justified. 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 That's what it says. That's what it says. It says justified. This is where you've come. Oh, the riches of the glory of the kingdom of God to those that are in that kingdom. Draw near. Draw near. You'll find it all. Stay on the journey. Get back up. Go forward. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I felt the Spirit of the Lord speak certain things to me. And this is the first one. I'd like for you to pray with me. It's a simple little prayer to where we give our all to Jesus. And we just say, Lord, have your will. Would everybody say with me, Lord Jesus?
Lord Jesus.
Have your way.
Have your way.
Have your will.
Have your will.
With my life.
In my life.
I'm going to pray one that I want you to agree with. Father, in the name of Jesus, have your way and have your will here
Yes.
Among us. In this church. Everybody say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I got another one. That we hold nothing back in heart. So we release everything to the Lord in our heart. Would you say, Lord Jesus?
Lord Jesus.
Is it good again? Lord Jesus?
Lord Jesus.
I give you my heart.
I give you my heart.
I give you everything in my heart.
I give you everything in my heart.
I proclaim you Lord over my heart. Everything good.
Everything good.
Everything bad.
Everything bad.
And everything in between. I give it to you.
I give to you.
Today.
Today.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, I'm just going to pray because the Holy Spirit this morning, when you leave here, you're going to leave with a deposit. I'm going to pray it. I don't know how it's going to be manifested. But I just heard the Lord say to me that I was to pray for a deposit, a holy deposit that the Spirit's going to make upon each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Oh. Woo. Oh, Holy Spirit, let the deposit, the holy deposit that you have for your holy people here, the deposit, make your deposit now, Holy Spirit. Make your deposit now upon the beloved of the Lord. There's a deposit being made within you in the Holy Spirit right now. Watch for its manifestation. Watch for its manifestation. When the holy deposit starts manifesting, grab a hold of it and run with it. Grab a hold of it and run with it. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand. Let's bless the Lord.